Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 181 are David Platt.
Nice to be here, Aaron.
Eric Anderson.
Hey there, everyone.
And Kevin Crossman.
Hello, hi, everyone.
Tonight, the panel is going to be talking about good neighbor hotels for the Disneyland Resort. But before we get to that conversation, I do want to once again thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. The next time you're considering a trip out to Disneyland, Disney World, heck, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise Line, any of those great destinations, consider Fairytale Journeys agent. You can check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. Okay, guys, so this podcast is a great example of one where you get to give me an education, because I will admit that this is not one of my strengths. I know a little bit about some of these good neighbor hotels at Disneyland, but, you know, you all are my collective experts here.
Well, I'll apologize in advance then, because... what would you like to know, Aaron?
Well, you know, I think we need to start with just some of the basics, because I know that for people who come from more of a Walt Disney World, you know, perspective, and that they're more familiar with, when we talk about good neighbor hotels at Disneyland, I don't think they really quite get what we're talking about. I mean, when we talk about good neighbor hotels at Disney World, we tend to be talking about some hotels that are kind of the other side of the street from downtown Disney. They're farther away from the theme parks than really any of the, you know, Walt Disney World resorts and hotels. So, and I know that that's not the way it works at Disneyland. So somebody kind of jump in here and tell me a little bit about when we talk about a good neighbor hotel for Disneyland, what are we talking about?
Well, Aaron, the good news about good neighbor hotels is that if you want to find a hotel at whatever price range you're willing to pay, there's going to be an option for you very, very close to the theme parks. In fact, in some cases, closer than even some of Disney's properties. And, you know, the best way to learn about this is to look at a map, and you'll see right across the street from the main entrance to Disneyland on Harbor Boulevard, there are a series of motel-style hotels, for the most part, and some of them are not necessarily new, but they're right across the street, and they offer a pretty easy way to get to the parks. You can park there, walk to the parks. You can stay there for much cheaper than you would stay at a Disney-owned property or some of the other more fancier hotels that are around, and we'll talk about those, too. And, you know, you're going to get a little bit about what you pay for there, but for people who spend all day in the parks and all you really care about is a bed and you're not so picky about that bed, this might be a really good option for you.
Okay. So the first thing that I guess it's important for people to realize is that good neighbor hotels at Disneyland are not necessarily so far away. And that's just a function of, you know, the way that the property developed. I mean, Disneyland is an urban park. So you've got hotels and things that are closer because Disney didn't own, you know, all of Anaheim, even if it feels that way sometimes.
Yep.
And good neighbor hotels, you know, that tag, particularly, I think, in Anaheim, you know, kind of means something. I mean, David, do I remember right at one point you were looking at a hotel and discovered it was in the area but wasn't actually a good neighbor hotel?
Probably. That's not ringing a bell, but I've looked at so many different hotels that that's a distinct possibility. I know there was one hotel that I looked at right across the street from the main entrance called the Desert Inn and Suites, which actually isn't listed on Disney's website as a good neighbor hotel, but it turns out actually is a good neighbor hotel. They're one of the few that I believe you explained this to me, Aaron, they don't feel the need to take bookings through the Disney travel agency because they're so successful getting bookings on their own. But they still do have the good neighbor designation, which is interesting.
Oh, that was right. That was that happens periodically with these Good Neighbor hotels. So it's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, and maybe we'll talk about that more as we talk about specific properties. But one of the things about Good Neighbor hotels that makes them different from the on-property hotels is that you may get different information about hotel availability when you go through, you know, booking a package through Disneyland versus going directly to the hotel. Because they don't even though they're Good Neighbor hotels, they don't necessarily make all of their inventory available to be booked through Disney. And that's, I think, David, what we discovered with that particular hotel.
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead.
There are quite a few times I've tried to book through, you know, one of the Disney travel agencies, and I haven't found a room I've wanted, and I have gone to the hotel website and found, you know, a similar room that I was looking for there. So it's best to check around, you know, if you can't get exactly what you want. But Kevin, you were going to add?
Yeah, and I'd say a third option would be something like hotels.com. I've often had good luck getting rooms, especially during, you know, busy seasons, especially when we're booking, you know, at the last minute, where sometimes those other means are not available, or, you know, too high priced or whatever. And sometimes hotels.com can be very helpful too. And, you know, you do a search, it gives you the map, you'll see exactly where the hotel is. So, you know, you can moderate how far you want to be away.
All right. So generally speaking, if a hotel is a Good Neighbor hotel, there are some minimum standards that, you know, they agree to meet. And from what I understand, Disney does some, you know, pretty hardcore inspections periodically of all of these hotels. And, you know, it's a pretty big deal, because losing your Good Neighbor designation means, among other things, that you don't get bookings at all, you know, through Disney's own booking system. So it's in their interests to do the things that Disney requires. And it's things like basic maintenance and that sort of thing. So it should be at least an indication of a, you know, pretty basic, minimal level of cleanliness and security and those kinds of things. But as you'll learn as we talk about these, you know, there's going to be substantial variation between what you're going to find at, you know, some of these hotels versus some others. There's definitely a range in terms of both the service levels that are provided and the way that those properties are maintained.
Yeah, right. As I think it was Kevin mentioned earlier, you definitely get what you pay for. I mean, don't go just on price, because if you know, a really clean, nice room matters to you, you're going to want to splurge a little bit. You know, you obviously still won't pay as much as you would staying on property, so that's a good plus. But you can get a very nice room for a very attractive price.
Okay, well, that kind of leads us to this next major topic, which is why you might choose to stay at one of these Good Neighbor hotels instead of an on-property hotel. And obviously price is a big consideration, because, you know, with only three hotels on resort property at Disneyland Resort, the prices get, you know, held high just because the booking levels are high. You know, they can get the money, so they keep so they ask for it. But there are a large number of hotels outside, so there's both less expensive options and a very a larger variety of price points. But what are some other reasons, aside from just, you know, dollars alone, that you might select a Good Neighbor hotel versus one of the on-property hotels?
Well, I think it's already been alluded to a couple times, but believe it or not, location. I mean, some of the Good Neighbor hotels are literally closer to the park gates than the Disneyland Hotel or Paradise Pier. I don't think any of them beat the Grand Californian location, but there are several of the hotels, you know, right across Harbor Avenue there that are very attractive location-wise, you know, easily a five-minute walk to the main gate.
Okay, so you get some great location options. Kevin, what's another reason that you might consider an off-property Good Neighbor hotel?
Well, it might depend if you're going to be doing other things in the area. If all you're doing is going to Disneyland, that might be one thing. But if you are going to any of the other places around Southern California and Anaheim area, you might want to be, you know, differently positioned in the resort. You certainly may want to pay less than the Disney price if you're going to be doing a lot of traveling outside of Disney, as an example.
Sure.
You know, so depending on whether, you know, if you're staying, if you're going there to be part of a convention and to be going to the parks, you might want to stay, you know, in that area closer than you might in other areas as well.
Okay.
And to dovetail right along with that, you know, if you are having a vacation like that where you're going to be traveling around a little bit more, more than likely you will have a rental car. And a lot of the Good Neighbor hotels have either free or, compared to the Disneyland hotels, relatively inexpensive parking.
Right, because you're going to pay $15 a day to park your car at Disneyland. Unlike Walt Disney World, where resort guests get free parking, at Disneyland, if you're a resort guest, you still pay, and it's expensive.
Yes, yeah, like you said, $15 a day, and there are, I mean, at least five hotels I can think of off the top of my head where parking is free. It's not the best parking. You're going to be cramped. You might have trouble getting in and out of the spaces, but there is free parking.
Okay. Eric, any other reasons you might choose a Good Neighbor hotel versus one of the on-property hotels?
Well, I mean, I'm used to going to Walt Disney World, where there are, I believe Disney's up to like 87 of its own hotels at this point. But there are three there. There are three hotels, and one of them has DVC rooms. So, and those, if you're a DVC member and you're trying to get a DVC room out there, it is not the easiest thing to do, let me tell you.
And, it is not.
unless you own there, and even then it can be pretty competitive. But, you know, it, you know, if those rooms are booked up, and again, it comes down to price a little bit, but the number of rooms available isn't the same as it is on the East Coast. So it's possible you can get shut out of the Disney hotels. So you might want to look elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, availability is a real issue, particularly when there are special events on property. You know, if you're going to be at Disneyland during a race weekend, or you're going to be at Disneyland for, you know, during a time when D23 is going on, a big event like that, you know, there just may not be rooms on property. And so a Good Neighbor hotel would be a reason. There are, I think, even still some amenity reasons to stay at a Good Neighbor hotel versus an on-property hotel. You know, a number of the Good Neighbor hotels will offer a free breakfast. Now, it's not necessarily, you know, Chef Mickey's, but it's free. You know, it's your typical, most of them are kind of your typical continental breakfast, you know, kind of thing. But it's better than paying for the same thing, which you would on property or a more expensive full breakfast.
Yes, and that can add up quickly. I mean, just, you know, I have a relatively small family, just, you know, three people, my wife and my child, and breakfast, a free breakfast at a Good Neighbor hotel could easily save us, you know, $30, $40 a day for then eating in the park.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, similar amenities that you'll find off-property that you won't necessarily find on-property. Some of it is price-related, but, you know, there are hotel options that are among the Good Neighbor hotels that are suite hotels, you know, where just about all the rooms are suites. There may not be huge suites, but they're suites. And if you've got a kid who doesn't sleep well in the same room with you and, you know, there are suites in the Disneyland Resort hotels, but now you're talking even more expensive.
Yeah, they're exorbitantly expensive, the suites on property. And I've done quite a bit of research on the different suite hotels in the Good Neighbor hotels, and there are some very attractive options. The DoubleTree I've stayed at has it's a very nice property, as you would expect a DoubleTree to be. Has you know, if you do your shopping early, you can easily get a two-bedroom suite for a couple hundred a night. compared to, you know, probably at least three times that amount on property.
Yeah, and when you're looking for something specific like that in particular, just the sheer number of Good Neighbor hotels makes for better options, and that alone contributes to better pricing. So there are some practical reasons to choose one of the off-property hotels as well. All right, well, let's get to the thing that I think maybe people who are listening are going to be most interested in, because one of the things that I think is intimidating for people who are used to Walt Disney World and used to being able to, you know, pick from a menu of on-property hotels and understand going in that there's a certain basic level of service that they can expect and be comfortable, could, you know, because it's a Disney hotel, they can't really make a bad choice. It's just which is the better choice among many. Where they look at a Good Neighbor hotel and there's a little more concern that there's more room to make a mistake, I guess. And so maybe you guys can help us with that. I know that, you know, we've got a range of experience here. Kevin is the veteran, I think. So he's got the most extensive experience at different hotels. David has sort of some niche focus here on the various suite hotel options. And then Eric has the most Walt Disney World experience to compare it to. So we'll kind of play it around and see, you know, what we can learn from you guys. I don't know. Eric, why don't you start us off with kind of how you chose the Good Neighbor Hotel you chose for your most recent Disneyland trip where you stayed at a Good Neighbor Hotel, and, you know, what you thought of it once you made that decision.
Sure. We took a trip out to California last summer with the kids, and we wanted to, you know, obviously stay somewhere close. We wanted to preferably be within walking distance of the park and not be ripped off, and basically try to have the best experience we could have. And so basically we asked people who had experience out there with the various hotels what their suggestions might be. And the one that sort of floated to the top for us was the Candy Cane Inn, which has been around out there for a long time. It's in sort of the moderate category amongst the Good Neighbor hotels. It's if you're familiar with Walt Disney World, you know that there's this one section, the Bonnet Creek area, that some guy refused to sell to Disney back in the day,
right?
And it's been built up since the land finally got sold off to various other hotels and resorts. But this, the Candy Cane Inn sits kind of at the bottom of Disneyland, the Disneyland sort of metroplex there, on a corner of Catella and Harbor.
Right, kind of on the corner of California Adventure.
Yeah, so if you're riding Radiator Springs Racers and you go around the last turn, I think, if I got the geometry right, and you kind of just kept going, it would be kind of through an offstage area or backstage area, and then just right there. So, you know, walking out of the hotel, you see basically you're in the back end of California Adventure. It's about a half a mile up to the gate at Disneyland, maybe a little less. And they also run a shuttle up right up the street. So it's a pretty quick trip no matter what you do. It's about, you know, walking the other way, it's about a half a mile to the Grand Californian and probably, you know, a mile or a little more up to, or mile or maybe a little less up to the Disneyland Hotel.
Okay, so location-wise, there are a couple of things there that speak for Candy Cane Inn. One is that it's close. It's about a half mile, so it's not a terrible walk. And the other is that they run a shuttle, and it's their own shuttle.
Yeah, and the biggest thing with kids was we did not have to cross a street to get in to the park.
It is one of the few hotels that's on the west side of Harbor Boulevard.
Of Harbor Boulevard, yeah. So that was really important to us.
That also brought up an issue that is important when looking for a good neighbor hotel. Be very wary of where they list their location, because they could very easily say, oh, we're right across the street from Disneyland. But that doesn't mean they're across the street from the entrance to Disneyland. They could be right across the street from the backside. So you still have to walk all the way around the park. It could be a good, you know, half mile, three quarters of a mile walk. They're not lying about the location. They're just not being entirely truthful.
Right. Yeah. So to give you an example of that, I'm looking at a map now, and according to this map, the Sheraton Anaheim Hotel could say that it's across the street from Disneyland.
Yes,
because it is.
Absolutely.
It's across Ball Road from Disneyland.
But it is right behind Toontown.
And it's a long way out there. And you'd have to go... I mean, I guess the one advantage it has is, I guess you could go either way around, but
I think a good rule of thumb would be anything that is on Harbor Boulevard up to about Catella is a good reasonable walk, 5 to 10 minutes. 10 minutes probably in the case of the Candy Cane Inn, if you're fast walkers like we are. Anything south of there, anything to the east or west of Harbor. At that far away, you really should be thinking about a shuttle option. And like Candy Cane, a lot of these hotels do have their own shuttles, and they'll leave, at the top of the hour or bottom of the hour or whatever it is. And oftentimes it can be very convenient, but oftentimes it does mean you're going to be sitting and waiting for a bus. In other cases, some of these hotels are serviced by the Anaheim Resort buses, and that's maybe a little bit more convenient. But you have to wait for that. So, you know, that's definitely a factor in, you know, how far away you stay, because these ones that are right across the street, those are definitely the ones that are probably less fancy, less, you know, well done as some of the ones that are further away. You definitely get a better quality hotel at that point.
Okay, so that is part of the trade-off. And even with the shuttle issues, you know, if they run their own shuttle, it probably runs less frequently. If you use the Anaheim Resort Transport version of the shuttle, then the downside of that is it's got to stop at multiple hotels. And so, actually, that's a debate we have at, you know, Disney World all the time, is would you rather stay at the resort that has one bus stop and everybody's cramming onto the bus, or the resort that has, you know, five stops, and it may be easier to get on and off, but you got to make multiple stops within the resort.
And there is something else to think about with the hotels further south on Harbor Boulevard. Like Kevin mentioned, the Toy Story parking lot is down there. And at these hotels, they don't care. You don't have to actually park in the Toy Story parking lot to use the shuttles that take you to Disneyland. So you could stay, for instance, at the Cortona, which I've stayed at a couple times, walk across the street to the Toy Story parking lot and take Disney's official shuttle, which they run continuously, you know, all day,
nice.
As long as the park is open. It's a bit of a hike over there, but, you know, a lot less than walking to the park itself. So that's another option. In fact, last time I stayed at the Cortona, I had the level of annual pass where you get free parking. So I just hop in my rental car, drive, you know, the half block or so to the end of the Toy Story parking lot and take the shuttle every day. It was fantastic.
That's a good tip.
Yeah, that's useful. Talk about the hotel a little bit, Eric, the Candy Cane Inn, and maybe compare it to, Walt Disney World hotels. How would you compare it, and kind of where would it fit in?
Well, I think Disney has the Good Neighbor hotels broken down into tiers, just like they have their
it's referred to as a moderate tier Good Neighbor hotel.
And I think that's probably the best comparison with the Walt Disney World hotels. You've got the sort of external hallways, so your room opens directly out onto outside, just like in say, you know, the Port Orleans hotels at Walt Disney World. And, obviously, it's not going to have the same theming as a Disney moderate hotel at Walt Disney World. It's not really, you know, built around any sort of theme. It's, you know, it's basic. It's a basic, I guess, motel because it's, you know, external corridors and stuff. But it's comfortable. The size of the room is probably a little bigger than the Disney moderates, but not appreciably so. I mean, it's probably pretty close. And again, they have a free breakfast, free continental breakfast, which obviously the Walt Disney World resorts don't have.
And it's a good breakfast there at that Candy Canyon. They have a very nice spread, much, much better than basically anything else in that tier on Harbor.
Yeah, they do actually have some hot stuff on the buffet, so that's nice. It's not just muffins and bagels. But in the hotel's got an outdoor pool, hot tub, all the stuff you'd expect. And you know, I think, you know, aside from, you know, the fact that it lacks any sort of theming, then it's going to be pretty much what you'd expect at a Disney moderate hotel.
So, you know, it stood up to the tests of comfort and service and all those things. It just doesn't have quite the style.
Yeah, and obviously the proximity to the park is good. The fact that it runs a shuttle is great. So those are nice amenities to have. And, you know, it's... We kind of knew going in that this wasn't going to be a Disney hotel, but you know, we got a nice place to sleep, so that's great.
Okay, so David, why don't you talk a little bit about the search for a suite? Because I know that you kind of set out with that in mind, and so it led you to look at some hotels that you might not have looked at otherwise, because they provided a particular room type.
Right. And one thing that's very nice about the Good Neighbor hotels is the Disneyland website actually has a suite category. So you can look just at the hotels that have suites, which is nice. I've already mentioned earlier, we stayed at the DoubleTree. That was actually our very first trip to Disneyland. And I think everything else kind of suffers in comparison because, you know, DoubleTree is a Hilton property. They're generally pretty nice, particularly as Good Neighbor hotels go, because most of the Good Neighbor hotels are actually motels where the rooms, you know, open right onto the parking lot, things like that. But this is, you know, it's a hotel. You have interior corridors. It's very well kept, very nice. No free breakfast, no free shuttle. You are limited to the Anaheim Resort Transit system that Kevin mentioned earlier, which can be hit or miss. We've never had problems with it, but I've heard from several people that it was unreliable for them. But, you know, let's see. So the DoubleTree is a very good suite option if you're willing to take a shuttle. The Cortona, which I mentioned earlier, is also a little further south on Harbor. It's nothing to write home about. Quality wise, it's well kept, it's clean, but it's old. A very decent breakfast spread. Sounds pretty similar to the Candy Cane Inn because I've researched that hotel a bit too. So there's lots of hot options, waffles, eggs, usually stuff like that. So you can get a full breakfast. They have several different suite configurations. You can get a room with bunk beds if you have kids, and then another living room with a sleeper sofa. You can get two rooms with two king beds. So they have lots of options for all different types of visitors, which is nice.
Yeah, and one thing, I'm glad you mentioned Cortona, because although Disneyland does break the Good Neighbor hotels out into categories, and one of the categories is suites, there are actually a few suite hotels that are not in the suite category. on
the site. Oh, is that true?
Which is kind of interesting, and you might miss them if you didn't know to look for them. I think what they've done is...
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the website now. You're right. Cortona is not on that list.
I think what they've done is take the suite hotels, and there are sort of two groups of them. There are suite hotels that they also would categorize as moderate, and those go in their moderate list, which is their longest list. Because the Cortona is there, Carousel Inn and Suites is there, Holiday Inn that has suites is there, Hampton Inn with suites is there. And those are all categories as moderate. I think that the ones that are listed as suites tend to be somewhat higher end properties.
That very well could be. From the list I'm looking at here, they all look like nicer properties. Not that there's anything wrong with the Cortona. Like I said, it's just older, not.
Right.
Not as nice as some of the other places.
And I guess I mentioned it mostly because if somebody's looking for a suite hotel and is looking to maybe not spend quite as much as the DoubleTree, there are these other options that are just, they're on the moderate list and they might get missed otherwise.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. I didn't even know that. And the only other place I've stayed at, it was only for one night, so I don't have a huge amount of experience with it, is the Desert Inn and Suites, which is the one I mentioned earlier that you can't book directly through the Disney website, but is still a good neighbor hotel. It's a very serviceable hotel, for lack of a better description. It's a bed, it's a shower, it's fairly clean. It's absolutely nothing to write home about, but it is fairly inexpensive, and it is just about the closest you can get to the parks. It's directly next to the stoplight that goes across harbor to the main gates. It's a very, very nice walk. And the only other suite option I wanted to mention, I've never actually stayed there myself. I've been booked there a couple times, but I've had to cancel for finding more attractive options like on-site or whatever. The Desert Palms Inn and Suites is very popular. It's a very highly rated hotel, like on TripAdvisor, sites like that. It looks to be very well maintained. The location is very nice. It's actually right next to the Candy Cane Inn, just right there on the corner of Harbor and Catella.
Okay, so it's another one that's west of Harbor and north of Catella.
Right, so you wouldn't have to cross the street if you wanted to walk. I don't believe they have their own shuttle, but they are right on the Anaheim Resort Transit. I believe all the good neighbor hotels are, except for the ones right across the street, of course, because you don't need a shuttle from there. But another good feature of the Desert Palms is it has a convenience store right on property, a full-size, I think, convenience store.
Oh,
which,
nice.
Yeah, and I believe it's right situated right there in between the Desert Palms and the Candy Cane Inn. So, that'd be super convenient to have on hand for late night snacks or, like Band-Aid emergencies or whatever. But
it's exactly correct. Yes,
several of the hotels on that main harbor area do have their own convenience stores as well. Then again, your mileage will vary. Some of these, the one that you mentioned there in the corner next to the Candy Cane is definitely a lot better, bigger, more full featured.
Yeah, I think it's correct my memory. Is it a 7-Eleven? I can't remember. Does anybody know?
That would be my guess, but I don't know for sure.
No, right. I'm not sure.
But yeah, so I think trading off like amenities, upkeep of the hotel, price, location, I think probably the most attractive suite option, even though I've never stayed there, would be the Desert Palms. So okay. That's one to look at.
Well, we'll have to, get a trip report when you actually end up staying there.
Yeah, hopefully I will make it one of these days.
All right, so Kevin, you're our real veteran here. So give us some of the, as we called it, getting ready here. Some of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, I've stayed basically any hotel that's right on that strip there: Howard Johnson's, Fairfield Inn, Park Inn, Carousel Inn, Tropicana Inn, Parkview Inn, Candy Cane Inn. Yeah, I've stayed at all those. So. I think I want to add another vote for Candy Cane Inn. It's definitely, the grounds are very well maintained. It's a very peaceful garden setting there, and it is kind of calm right in there behind Cars Land. And one of the options that they have there with the Candy Cane Inn is you can – they have like a regular sized room, and then they have like an upgraded room, which is usually about 10 bucks more a night. So it's usually worth paying the little extra. And they also have some rooms where they actually bring you like a basket for breakfast, sort of a goodie basket. So that could be another option if you're looking to, you know, pamper yourself a little bit. And when you stay at the Candy Cane, they always give you a coupon. So if you come back, you can get $10 off per night, which is nice. But the other one that I would recommend in this area is the Howard Johnson. This is kind of on the other side of Harbor, almost to the 5 freeway. And it's more of your traditional hotel with, you know, towers and interior rooms and whatnot. But it is, you know, quite a bit better upkeep and nicer rooms than a lot of these other more motel style ones that are in this area. So, you know, again, the problem with, you know, thinking about Disneyland, unless you're going to go on for Disney and you have a choice of 3 pretty distinct options, you do have a problem of seeing a million different options and trying to figure out which one's best and all this sort of thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, you could really kill yourself trying to, you know, make sure you're making the perfect decision.
Yeah.
But, those Diz boards and places like that, you know, any your Yelp or hotels.com review sites can often be very helpful as well. And just kind of, you know, set your expectations low for a lot of these guys and maybe they'll be exceeded. I know Camelot Inn is not on Disney's list as a good neighbor, but it's across the street, and it would be a standout among this class for me, you know, for those sorts of hotels. So those are my picks. Okay. Howard Johnson and Candy Cane.
Howard Johnson and Candy Cane are favorites.
And I've heard Howard Johnson is really good for families too, right, because they have a really good water area. Is that correct, Kevin?
Yes. I think the time we stayed there, they've made some upgrades since then. So yes, they have definitely continued to invest in the property. Definitely, you know, a little bit better than average for sure.
Okay.
All right. So those are the good. Now, I guess the next question is, and I'll ask it from all three of you, because I'm sure you may have run through this in doing your own research to make a choice for where you did choose to stay. But are there places where, despite their good neighbor moniker, you would recommend choosing someplace else?
A couple of the places I would not recommend are not on Disney's list, and so I guess that's a good thing. You know, the Super 8, the Del Sol are ones that I would never stay at again. And I find as I grow older and the kids grow older, I'm a little bit more picky, and I'm having to, you know, decide to, you know, pay a little bit more, you know, for something that's a little bit of a higher quality, or even go more to Disney now to get a higher quality. But so, you know, again, make a choice. But, you know, I think the good news, I guess, from that observation is that if it's on Disney's list, it should be a certain class higher than some of the really bad ones that are out there, you know, anywhere.
Sure.
And I would have to say, of the Good Neighbor hotels, I have not heard good things about the Hotel Menage, which is also one of the furthest away, so it's probably not one a lot of people would look at anyway.
Okay.
So,
Eric, any that you were warned away from?
No, I think that we mostly were just asking for
positive recommendations.
The best people had, and nobody screamed and said, whatever you do, don't stay at Hotel X. So
right.
We just got good information. Or information about good hotels, I guess, and no real warnings.
Okay, well, that's good. So it does sound like, you know, given the breadth among the three of you of places that you've stayed, overall, it sounds like the Good Neighbor list is a solid list. That, you know, for the most part, you can choose something on this list and have a decent experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would say so too.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, is there anything else about Good Neighbor hotels that you think people ought to know when they're, you know, considering? I guess one thing we probably should talk about is, you know, Disneyland has recently started, and this is only within the last, I guess, what, year and a half or so? Maybe a little more, but has only recently started doing, you know, extra magic hour mornings as a benefit for on-property guests. Are there still benefits provided to people who book packages and stay at Good Neighbor hotels?
There are not, usually. You get the standard, any three-day park hopper ticket gets early entry to Disneyland on one of the days of their tickets, but that's not specific to the Good Neighbor Hotel. That's any ticket.
Okay.
Occasionally you run across a deal on Costco or another travel site where maybe you'll get like a free character meal or something like that, but nothing permanent, nothing of any real note that I'd say.
Okay. All right, but yeah. it is worth mentioning that you do get that one early entry because you know, extra magic hours is a pretty popular benefit, and it's nice to have it, particularly with you know, Cars Land and all of that going on. We've talked about that before.
Well, just to note, it is Disneyland only,
right,
not California Adventure.
And that's where I was headed.
Okay.
So,
because you will hear every morning, if you're waiting in line for early entry at California Adventure, you will hear people arguing with the ticket agents trying to get in.
Ah, yes. So there is an early entry one day, as long as you're on at least a three-day ticket to Disneyland, even if you're not staying in the, you know, Disneyland Resort on-property hotels, which is worth noting because it's something that's not available at Disney World at all. You know, at Disney World, the only way to get an early park entry is to be staying on property. Or book a pre-opening breakfast, but that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that that's worth noting because that extra premium you're paying for Disney, say Paradise Pier, you're getting early entry every day, including early entry at DCA, which nowadays is actually worth something.
Yeah,
so
the question is,
you know, how much is it worth to you? In recent times, for us, it's been worth it to go a little extra there because you do get a pretty nice opportunity to get into some of those lines early and experience some of the park before it opens. If you're willing to get up.
Right. Now, I did want to ask, and David, I'm sorry to put you on the spot with this, but I know that at one point we had talked about you kind of liked the idea of staying a little bit farther from the parks with a young child who, you know, maybe has a tendency to get a little overstimulated sometimes.
Yeah, very early on. Well, early on, relatively speaking, since my first trip was 2 years ago. on our first trip, I think it was nice for us to be able to escape because my daughter does have some sensory issues. She's gotten over a lot of them, so it's not nearly as big a deal now. We prefer to stay a lot closer now on property if we can. But, yeah, I mean, for some people, that may be a real consideration. It's kind of nice to be able to have the separation at the end of the day where you're far away from a lot of the crowds. There's not a lot of people walking around outside. It's something to consider.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting because it's one of those things I think we take for granted a little bit at Disney World, you know, because property is so large and spread out. On the one hand, you know, Disneyland, we talk a lot when we've done the Disneyland podcasts, we talked a lot about the benefits of how, you know, intimate it is and how everything's nice and close in. But there are times where that's a downside and where being able to kind of, you know, separate out from that, you know, might be worthwhile. And, you know, at some of the Walt Disney World hotels, you can get pretty far away from the park crowd. That's not so much possible when you're staying, you know, on property at Disneyland or directly across Harbor Boulevard at Disneyland.
Right. And as Kevin mentioned earlier, also, if you're planning to go out other places, it may be worthwhile to stay a little further out because it'd just be easier for you to get in and out. If you're right there, you know, super close to Disneyland, traffic can be, you know, a little congested at times.
Sure. All right. Well, guys, does anybody have any other last thoughts about Good Neighbor Hotels before I wrap things up a bit?
The only other thing I can think of that hasn't been mentioned yet is I believe every Good Neighbor Hotel, as a condition of being a Good Neighbor Hotel, has to sell tickets in the hotel, Disneyland tickets.
Right.
So,
yes.
so you can purchase tickets at the hotel if that's important to you. I know most people probably do it online, but...
Sorry, that's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned it. And I guess we should also mention, too, because I think this is always a concern, and maybe we talk about this real briefly here before we wrap up, but, one of the advantages sometimes to staying in a... in an on-resort hotel is that you know that there's going to be the ready availability of several restaurants. Did you find that there was, that kind of ready availability to feed everybody when you stayed off property?
I think that's a little bit hit and miss. Depends on the time of the year and the time of day. Some of those ones that might be around your hotel, especially on Harbor, some of those restaurants can get full. And so, it's a consideration for sure. If you're willing to eat not quite at, at 6 o'clock or not quite at noon or something like that, and depending on where it is, maybe in some cases you might have a good option. But, look at the maps, look at Google Maps, whatever. You'll see, there are a bunch of restaurants around there, and the Anaheim Garden Walk is an option. Of course, Downtown Disney is an option, too, for meals like that. But, you might have to be walking around. You might have to travel. You might have to go to a restaurant and find it's, an hour away and go to your second option, where if you were staying in a Disney hotel, you might have multiple options right there in the hotel.
And another plug for the suite hotel, some of them have full kitchens. So that could be a big plus for mealtime.
Right.
I just say that with the Candy Cane Inn, we had breakfast taken care of, and then most of our meals were in the parks or at Downtown Disney. I will say one thing in comparison to the on-property hotels. Sort of at the end of the day after walking around, we'd walk past the Grand Californian and think, our hotel is pretty close, but gosh, the Grand Californian is right there.
Yeah, you can't beat that location.
And so we ended up spending a lot of time in there in the big, the Great Hall area there. Right. So there's some things that being on property can really get you, and that's if you were staying here, you'd be home already. So.
All right. Well, you've heard what our panel has to say about Good Neighbor Hotels at Disneyland. We'd love to hear from you. Have you stayed at these hotels? Are there other ones that we should have talked about some more? Are there ones that you stayed at that you want to warn fellow DizDads to stay away from? Let us know about it. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And you can also now participate in discussions on our Facebook page at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with David Platt.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Eric Anderson.
Talk to you later.
And Kevin Crossman.
Good night, everyone.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.